This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And this is James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com, and we welcome you to another episode of New World Next Week, which, of course, you can find on NewWorldNextWeek.com. And as always, a huge thanks to ParadigmShift.tv for helping spread the word about this show. So, James, needless to say, this is going to be a very packed episode, and I want to begin by actually commending you for suggesting and having us cover the story back on our April 7th episode. So less than a month ago, folks may recall we covered Get Osama, as we noted the rise in chatter about this old CIA asset. So I also want to commend you for all your great work in the past week and your appearances on Russia Today and Alex Jones, breaking down this psychological operation, comparing it quite correctly, I think, to another kind of Jerry Bruckheimer production, the co-creator of the Jessica Lynch lie. So as we hinted last week, this is a time for dramatic events, as we have the occult holidays of Beltane and Walpurgis and the royal rituals of the inbred eugenics-obsessed elite and the exhumation of a cult leader who helped cover up worldwide child abuse. But even if you don't want to pay attention to the occult angles, there's more than enough exoteric information to still, I think, help kind of bust through and break through our collective amnesia. And I would say that, one, we noted last week that Robert Gates of Operation Cyclone infamy has retired, as basically his life's work is complete. The funding and training of the Mujahideen to give the Soviets their Vietnam, as envisioned and written about by Zbigniew Brzezinski, who also funded and trained a young man out of Columbia University and is now the foreign policy advisor to that man, commonly referred to as Barack Obama. And number two to, I think, remember is that in the days after 9/11, the Bin Laden family were allowed to fly out of this country while the rest of us were not. So, James, officially now let me get into our first story that I think hopefully brings us up to date and up to speed. President Obama to meet 9/11 families and lay wreath at Ground Zero on Thursday from the Columbia Broadcasting System. President Barack Obama was finalizing plans to visit Ground Zero on Thursday, where he'll meet with a small, hand-picked group of September 11 families at the site. Obama will also meet with first responders and participate in a wreath-laying ceremony at Ground Zero. Kurt Horning of Scotch Plains, New Jersey, is among those that received an invitation to meet with Obama. Horning said he intends to tell the president that Bin Laden got a better burial than many 9/11 victims. He was washed and wrapped and buried at sea after prayers were read, and thousands of people from the World Trade Center are in a garbage dump in Staten Island, Horning, who lost his son in the attack, said. Horning is also the co-founder of WTC Families for Proper Burial. Mr. Obama will not be joined by his predecessor, President George W. Bush, who declined an invitation and has kept out of the spotlight. Flag-waving crowds had gathered in Lower Manhattan after the president announced Bin Laden's death late Sunday night. The observance will unfold against the backdrop of a new revised narrative of how the U.S. Navy SEALs killed the world's most wanted terrorist, who officials now say was unharmed at the time. And the latest I have for you folks, as of 3 p.m. Pacific time, May 4th here in the States, no, they're not releasing any evidence, audio or video or photo, just as there was no evidence shown that Osama was responsible for the spectacular false flag terror event known as 9/11 in the first place. And remember that 9/11 was never on Osama's FBI most wanted poster. So that means, James, they're continuing apace the destruction of habeas corpus, or you may have the body, and or they're not releasing it because they don't have any evidence. If they did, they would be shouting it from the rooftops, disregard the nonsense about disturbing photos, as if our misleaders ever hesitated to traumatize the public. James.
Well, so few people were buying this as it was with the whole burial at sea story, and this is not going to play in their favor at all, the fact that they're now not going to release any shred of evidence that they killed anyone resembling Osama bin Laden. It's absolutely ridiculous, and I don't see how that's going to play out for them. But it's interesting to see Obama going to Ground Zero and parading on the rubble there, just like Bush did before him, and trying to leech off the psychic energy of the mindless masses who just go around shouting USA, USA, as if something marvelous has just been accomplished.
Yeah, and the rituals continue. That now there's this sort of follow-up ritual as he goes to Ground Zero. And not the least of which, we also mentioned that Prince Charles is on his way to come over to the District of Criminals as well. So I think the question, hopefully, that a lot of folks would ask as a lot of these things were going on over the past week is, isn't there probably more important things going on in the world? And yes, of course, my friends, there are. Fukushima parents dish the dirt in protest over radiation levels, from The Guardian. Furious parents in Fukushima have delivered a bag of radioactive playground earth to education officials in protest at moves to weaken nuclear safety standards in schools. Children can now be exposed to 20 times more radiation than was previously permissible. The new regulations have prompted outcry. A senior advisor resigned, and the prime minister was criticized by politicians from his own party. Ministers have defended the increase in the acceptable level from 1 to 20 millisieverts per year as a necessary measure to guarantee the education of hundreds of thousands of children in Fukushima Prefecture, the location of the nuclear plant that suffered a partial meltdown and several explosions after the earthquake and tsunami on 3/11. It's estimated that 75% of Fukushima schools may have radiation levels above the old safety level of 1 millisievert. The local authorities in Koriyama have tried to ease the problem by digging up the top layer of soil in school and day center playgrounds, but residents near the proposed dump site have objected. The new standard of 20 millisieverts a year, equivalent to the annual maximum dose for German nuclear workers, will mean that those schools remain open, but parents and nuclear opponents are angry that safety concerns are being ignored. A group claiming to represent 250 parents in Fukushima visited the upper house of parliament and presented government officials with a bag of radioactive dirt from the playground of one of the affected schools. A Geiger counter clicked over it with a reading of 38 millisieverts. "How dare they tell us it is safe for our children," said Sachiko Satu of the Protect Fukushima Children from Radiation Association. "This is disgusting. They can't play outside with such risks. If the government won't remove the radioactive dirt, then we'll do it ourselves and dump it outside the headquarters of Tokyo Electric." We have the related story that was referenced in that article. Top nuclear official resigns over Japan's decision to disobey the law and subject children to high radiation. And James, this kind of reminds me in a way of the story back in March and April of 2010 of Reverend Billy and other street activists dumping murdered mud in J.P. Morgan Chase bank branches to protest their involvement in mountaintop removal in West Virginia.
Right. Well, I think that's the politest thing that could be dumped in protest of this. If this story doesn't get your blood boiling, then nothing will. This is just so disgusting to me how the government is just doing this right in front of everyone. They're not even pretending that there's any scientific validity or reason for what they're doing. They're just saying that they have to do this to ensure that the students continue going to school, as if that's the most important thing. Not the fact that the students' lives and health are protected, just that they continue to go to school and get irradiated. It's absolutely disgusting, and the fact that the Prime Minister's scientific advisor resigned over this is huge news. That's a big deal. They're not making a big deal out of it in the press, but I think that's a huge deal because that's pretty unusual here in Japan. So I would say this story is really starting to heat up a little bit, and it's not being covered a lot in the Japanese press. It is being covered, but it's not being trumpeted. So I think there's something happening in Fukushima that's going to lead to bigger protests and things, but we'll have to see if the government just continues to obfuscate and raise levels randomly.
Mm-hmm. As of course we covered just a few weeks ago, the raising of supposed acceptable levels of radiation here in the States. Because of course, James, you and I are just separated by the Pacific Ocean, and ultimately it's not very far away from what's going on.
And it is blowing in your direction, unfortunately. So everyone needs to keep their eye on this story because it's not going away.
So, James, for our third and final story, I guess we'll turn from one backyard of yours to another, in a way, to your home country of Canada. And we'll take this from the CBC. Prime Minister returns to Ottawa after majority win. Harper hails Quebec's shift to federalism. Prime Minister Stephen Harper returned to Ottawa a day after Canadians elected his Conservative Party to form its first majority government. Cheering supporters greeted Harper and his wife Laureen and their children Ben and Rachel, as well as his campaign staff, as the Conservative plane landed at Ottawa Airport Tuesday evening from his home in Calgary. Speaking at a news conference earlier in the day in Calgary, he hailed Quebec's shift to federalism in Monday night's election, which reduced the once dominant Bloc Québécois to 4 seats in the province. The prime minister added he's disappointed that his majority government does not have a larger foothold in Quebec, as most of the Bloc losses came from an unprecedented surge by Jack Layton's New Democrats. Despite the fact that we did not make any gains, of course, as a Canadian and a Federalist, I'm encouraged by the collapse of the Bloc, Harper said. Now, interestingly enough, if we skip down towards the end of this CBC article, I knew there had to be an extra nugget hidden in here. Harper received calls of congratulations on Tuesday from U.S. President Barack Obama and British Prime Minister David Cameron. During his telephone conversation with Obama, Harper congratulated the U.S. president and military servicemen on this week's raid in Pakistan that killed al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden. Obama also renewed his commitment to the border security framework agreement that the two leaders announced in February, the prime minister's office said. So, James, in yet another way, the new bosses continue the agenda of the old bosses, regardless of what team colors or gang signs they may throw. And it may not be called the Security and Prosperity Partnership anymore, but rest assured that the harmonization continues, just as the mouthpieces of the Council on Foreign Relations have been cheering for. So we'll include for folks a link to the latest article from Dana Gabriel, who has been following this quote-unquote harmonization that is a euphemism for ultimately becoming a North American Union. And the latest is North American perimeter security and the militarization of the northern border. James?
Yeah, harmonization, emphasis on harm. Absolutely not surprising, but it's just right there in your face. The very first conversation of the newly reelected prime minister just shows the continuity of agenda. Again, it's not surprising, but it is interesting to see how the agenda just unfurls with each new step, as if there's just no roadblocks in the way. So basically, the long and short of this is, for American listeners out there who might not know how the parliamentary system works, we don't have really a separate executive branch in Canada. We just elect the party. We elect the individual members of the party, and whichever party gets the most seats, that person becomes the prime minister. The leader of that party becomes the prime minister. And in this case, there's a majority government, meaning there are more seats. The majority party has more seats than any of the other parties. So they get to rule over the country with an iron fist now. So it'll be interesting to see how the Conservatives do that, because they've had a minority government for the past, 5-6 years now. So it's going to be a slightly different Canadian political landscape, and the opposition party is now the NDP, which is a hard left party. So they're good on things like opposing the North American Union, but of course terrible on a lot of other things like the anthropogenic global warming hoax and implementing socialism and things like that. So it's going to be, I think, more of the same. That's why I'm not particularly excited about this election, and I didn't follow it particularly closely, because it seemed to me there was no real choices to choose from. It was all just fake, phony left or phony right or phony opposition or whatever you want. So to me, this is just more of the same, and now we've got at least another 4 years of Harper, who people might remember, his camping buddy is Barry Cooper at the University of Calgary, who just happens to go to the Bohemian Grove every year. And people can take a look at my old interview with Barry Cooper about his participation at the Grove for more on that. So again, more of the same.
Oh, and I guess, Bohemian Grove will be coming up before we know it, yet, more rituals. But I think, James, something to mention as we wrap this episode up is that I think by no means should we feel that we're out of the woods. Whether or not you believed bin Laden was dead or alive in the first place, I don't think this really closes the book. As much as we'd like to say, oh, okay, yay, we're done, I think we're entering into even much darker territory.
Absolutely, I agree 100%, and I think Webster Tarpley put it quite well on RT recently when he said that they wouldn't discard this asset that they've spent hundreds of billions of dollars and all these years building up the myth of unless they want to do something very big with this. And I agree, I think something big is coming in the pipeline, and we have to brace ourselves and get ready for it.
All right, James, thanks so much.
Thank you.